Good morning. So grateful that you're here this morning. I've got a few quick announcements before we get into the lesson this morning. First of all, I want to remind you that we're continuing our Sunday Summer Nights program downstairs tonight at 6 p.m. I want to invite you to come and be a part of a roundtable discussion as we consider different aspects of God's nature, the good and beautiful God that we serve. And I want to remind you that if you were there last week and heard the announcement, to not forget that your task tonight is to bring your favorite food that you eat when you're watching the ball game at home and or watching a movie at home, whatever your favorite television snack food is, bring that tonight to share with everybody for our fellowship after our discussion tonight. So don't forget that. Also, want to quickly mention to you that I am rapidly making preparations for a class that I plan to teach on Wednesday nights beginning in October your request, a class on the Holy Spirit. And I need your help for that class. If you've got some questions or something that you wish that I would specifically deal with in that class, if you're planning to come to the class and you're like, man, I wish Jonathan would deal with this question or with this issue related to the Holy Spirit, if you could write that down on a card this morning and hand that to me or send me an email, I'd be glad to incorporate your questions or the things that you feel most pressing on that topic in the class as I'm making preparation now, writing that material for our class that will begin on Wednesday nights starting in October. So if you could help me out with that, that would be great. I want us to begin with a word of prayer as we start our lesson this morning, and specifically mention, as Jim already did, our sister Patty asked, Bill, and I want us to mention her again before the Lord. Let's pray together. Our loving Father, we are thankful to you that we get to be a part of your family, that you've welcomed us into your house. Thank you, Father, that we are your children, and we don't just boldly make that proclamation, but it's your Holy Spirit that is within us that makes the declaration, Abba, Father, and that we are your children by adoption. Thank you that you made that possible through your Son, Jesus. Today, Father, as we focus upon what it means to be a part of your house and how that you built that house, I pray that we would realize how that we're each a vital part of the house that you are building. We come before you again, Father, with the request that you'd be with our sister Patty this week as she's gotten these results, this news, and as the doctors go about the treatments. We pray, Father, that those treatments would be effective. And beyond that, we ask for your healing power to be upon her. And we pray, Father, that recovery might be found for her. Continue to bless her and Randy at this time. We ask it through Christ. Amen. Do you want to see the church flourish and grow? I really don't think that there's probably anybody here that if I were to ask you, raise your hand if you want to see the church really go into rapid decline, I don't think anybody would raise their hand. I'm convinced that all of us here as Christians, as a part of God's family, want to see the church do well. And I think none of us would probably say that we don't have ideas as to how we think that can happen. I've been impressed over the years in the church here at Maryville and also other congregations I've worked with. God's people have no shortage of ideas. There are lots of ideas that we have about what we think we can do to make the church be more successful. There's no shortage of those great ideas. And ideas are good. We need good ideas. But I want to tell you this morning, in the brief time that we have, I want to tell you that we need to realize, each one of us, that whenever it comes to God's people, nobody can build the Lord's house like the Lord can. Only God can really build His house. Now, sure, God can work through us, and God does work through us, and we need to make ourselves available for His use. But make no mistake this morning, only God can build His house. Our lesson text this morning is 2 Samuel chapter 7 that was read for us just a moment ago. Appreciate so much, Mike, reading that. 2 Samuel, I want you to look at it for yourself, though. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 through 17. I want you to see here in this lesson, as we continue this series, Welcome to God's House, how the house of God is something that God builds. This is the house that God built. Now notice first, in the first 11 verses of 2 Samuel 7, we see that God is the one that's building his house. Now the story opens this way. David has come into a time in his leadership as king over Israel. He's come into a time of peace. And he thinks to himself, you know, now that I've come into this time of peace, and the Lord has given me this peace from all of my enemies, he purposes in his heart that he wants to do something in honor to God. He tells the prophet Nathan, I want to build a house of cedar for the Lord because I'm living in a house of cedar, and the Lord in his presence in the Ark of the Covenant is dwelling in a tent. So I want to honor God and I want to build God a house. And Nathan, somewhat it seems, jumps the gun and says to David, the Lord is with you, go and do what you want to do. And then the Lord in verse number 4 basically says, wait, Nathan. I'm not sure you consulted with me on that. The Lord tells Nathan that night, you go back and tell David this. I've been dwelling in tents ever since you came out of Egypt. And nobody ever stopped to say, we need to build a house for the Lord. And I didn't request that. I didn't ask you to build me a house. In fact, you might have good intentions, David, that you want to build my house, but let me tell you really what I'm interested in. I'm not interested in you building my house. I want you to know I'm going to build your house. The Lord is going to be the architect. The Lord is going to do the building, and the Lord is going to build his house. Well, like King David, who wanted to build a house for the Lord, he's thinking in terms of a temple. Many of us, I think, today often devise complex strategies and plans, and we come together with great brainstorming sessions about what we can do to build the house of the Lord. If you go to any Christian bookstore today and you look in the section that says church growth, there is an entire aisle of books. And there is no shortage of authors that will tell you, and you can go to conference after conference that will tell you, here's the secret to building the Lord's house. But I want us to hear what God tells the prophet Nathan to tell David in 2 Samuel chapter 7. Only the Lord can build his house. Now God speaks to David and says, listen, you're not going to build my house. Instead, look at verse number 11. He says in verse number 11, I will give you rest from all of your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. The Lord is going to build the house. I think too many times it is really easy. I know it is for me as a minister. It's easy for us as ministers. It's easy for elders. It's easy for deacons. It's easy for church members to really try real hard and work real hard to try to do something great for the Lord. And I'll just say for myself, I try to work so hard to do something for the Lord, sometimes I don't let God do the work inside of me. And for me to position myself to allow God to do something through me, instead of us trying to work so hard to come up with all the solutions and all the strategies and do something great to build the Lord's house, let's position our hearts and our lives and humble ourselves before the Lord and bow our knees before Him and open our hearts before Him and say, Lord, You build this house. And we'll just do whatever You want us to do. You move in this place and let the Lord build His house because only God can. Now look at verses 12 through 17 because what we see next is that the way God is going to build his house is David is thinking in terms of a temple and God is thinking in terms of a household. You see, that happens a lot when we think of the church. We think in terms of buildings and organizations and organizational systems, and the Lord is thinking in terms of a living, breathing organism. He's thinking in terms of a family, in terms of a household. And you see that here in verses 12 through 17 because he says in verse 12, when your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I'm going to raise up offspring after you that will come from your body and I will establish his kingdom, and he will build a house for my name, and I will establish his throne, the throne of his kingdom forever, and I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men and stripes of the sons of men, but my steadfast love will not depart from him as it did from Saul. And your house and your kingdom shall be sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. So God is saying here that he's going to build his house, his household, through the house of David. And when you first read this, you think that what God is talking about is David's son, Solomon. Because God reveals in verses 12 and 13, he says, I'm going to build a house for my name through your offspring. God is saying, listen, David, I'm going to give you a son. It is through an heir that I'm going to build your house. And we're thinking the entire time, this is clearly Solomon. And in a sense it is, because after all, verse 14 says that this son would be guilty of iniquity. He would have sin, and certainly David's son Solomon did. But then God says something so curious in verse 17, which leads us to think away from Solomon, because he says, David, I'm going to give you an heir that's going to have a perpetual eternal kingdom, a kingdom that will endure forever. Surely this isn't Solomon, because Solomon dies. Solomon's kingdom comes to an end. So what in the world is God thinking of here when he tells David this? I think what God is essentially saying is this. David, I'm going to build your house. You're not going to build me a house, I'm going to build your house. And I'm going to build your house through a son. And we automatically think of David because David constructs the temple. But God has something much bigger, much more enduring, much more lasting in mind. David, God says, no, I'm not going to build a house through your son. I'm going to build a house through my son. And my son is going to come through you. David, your son Solomon will build a temple, but my son Jesus will be the temple. God will build his house, but as it turns out, and I want you to hear this, this is the main point of today's sermon. As it turns out, the temple is not a person, or is a person. It's not a place, it's a person. We think of temples as being a place, a location, but the temple is not a place. The temple is a person. Now, you see that because as all of this comes into fruition, as all of this plays out, we come to the New Testament. And you might want to look with me to John chapter 2. John chapter 2. It's during the Passover. And Jesus comes to the place of the temple. The place of the temple. The place where Solomon's temple had been, but it has now been rebuilt. It's now been refurbished. It's now been expanded. But he comes to the place of the temple, and when Jesus comes there, he discovers that the people have turned the temple into a marketplace. Verse number 13 beginning, the Passover of the Jews was at hand. Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and in the temple he found those that were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and money changers sitting there, making a whip of cords. He drove them out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold the pigeons, take these away. Do not make my Father's house a house of trade, a marketplace. Humanity has often tried to build God's house by turning it into a market. But Jesus becomes angry and he overturns those tables. Because the gathering of God's people is supposed to be a place of prayer for all the nations, not simply a place where you come to get your needs met or where I come to get my needs met. It's not just for a specific group, but instead it is a place that is open to all nations as a place of prayer. Because the temple, what is it? The temple is a place of accessing God. Jesus stands before the crowd. Look at verse number 18. The crowd says, "What sign do you show us for doing these things?" And Jesus answers, look at verse 19, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. The temple, the means of accessing God, is not a place. It never has been. It never will be. The real temple is a person, God's Son, that came through David, Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ. He is the way that we access God. He is the temple. So I want you to hear that this morning. The temple is not a place, it's a person. And we might go one step further. The temple is not a place, the temple is people. The church is not a place, it's people. The church is not a building with a steeple, the church is the people. Access to God would come only through Jesus' temple, through His body. But after Jesus' ascension, have you ever noticed that it permeates the New Testament throughout the epistles, throughout the rest of the New Testament, following the Gospels? The gathering of God's people, the church, is frequently referred to as the body. The temple is people. It is not a place. The church is the people. And through Christ, as God told David through the prophet Nathan in 2 Samuel 7 and verse number 13, "I will build a house for my name." Today we gather as God's people in His name. The temple is the people that gather together, just as the prophet Micah predicted in Micah 4, verses 1 and 2. All the peoples of the world will flow into it. Jesus, you see, was able, because of the temple of His body that was sacrificed for you and me, that gained us access to God. All people were drawn to Him. And Jesus was able to unite together in peace all the diverse peoples of this world and gather us together as one body. And He takes away all the hostility between us. He tears down the walls that divide us. And He brings us together as one body, because the temple is not a place, it's the people. Turn with me to Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And let's begin at verse 16. Ephesians 2, begin at verse 16. Regarding Jesus, "He will reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And He came and preached peace to you who were afar off, and peace to those who are near." Jew and Gentile, we're all one. We're united together. Verse 18, "For through Him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father." How did we have that access? Yes, it's by one Spirit, but it was through the temple of the body of Jesus that we gained that access. Verse 18, "Because through Him we both have that access, so that," verse 19, "we are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." I will build my house, God told David, my household. Built, verse 20, "on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In Him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. David said, I want to build, I've been dwelling in this house and God's presence has been in this tent. I want to build a house for the Lord. And David is thinking too narrow because he wants to build a structure, a building that can house God's presence. And God can't be housed. His presence is in us and through us and permeates this world. But God says, listen, David, I'm going to build my house. I'm going to build the temple to house my presence. You see, David, the temple is not a place. The temple is my people, and I will dwell among them and be in them and live through them, and I will join them together as one body in my Son. And my Spirit will dwell in them because they will be a growing holy temple in the Lord. I want you to know this morning, as thankful as I am that we have this structure to meet in, this is not the temple. This is not the house of the Lord. Not these walls. But I want you to know that you are the temple of the Lord. You are the Lord's household. The temple is not a place, it's a people. We are the body of Christ. We are the holy temple of the Lord. And there is something holy about this house, about these people. We must not destroy the temple. The Spirit is building us together into a dwelling place for God. I fear too many times in our efforts to try to build up the church, we end up destroying each other in the process. Let us not destroy this temple. Let's build it up by being united together, as he says here in Ephesians 2. All believers in Christ from all nations gather together in his name. We are the temple, and this is the place of prayer for the nations. And so let's do that. Would you join me together as we pray? Father, we want this place, more specifically, we want to be your people, your house. We want to be a dwelling place for your Spirit. We are the assembly of Christ, gathered here in his name. And we call upon you today to remove any hostility among us, to break down the walls that divide us, because Christ is our peace. He killed the hostility in his own body on the cross, and he came and he preached the message of peace that unites people together, both near and far, as one. And so, Father, we stand here today. We stand before you no longer strangers and foreigners, but we stand here today as your children. And we come as brothers and sisters to one another because we know we are your house, your household. And we stand here today firmly upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and we confess that Jesus is our cornerstone. And so we ask you, Father, build us all together, join us together, grow us together as a fit dwelling place for your Spirit. In the lovely name of Jesus we pray. Amen. This morning, let me ask you, are you a part of God's household? If you're not, the way you become a part of his household is by being born again by water and the Spirit. And if we can help you in your obedience to the message of the gospel, we would encourage you to respond. We'd love to talk with you about any spiritual need that you have prayer with you, or maybe you need to respond in repentance and baptism. If we can help you, come forward as we stand and as we sing.